Bibles tonight and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 to start with. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. So 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we ask that you bless our time together tonight, that you would guide us according to your will. I pray, Lord, that you would instill the truths of your word into our hearts, that we would hide your word in our hearts, meditating upon them day and night. Father, that we might have good success in our spiritual walk and in our daily lives. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to the hearts of the children, Lord, and Kid Venture, help them have fun with the games, but most importantly, Father, we do want the word of God to be sown into their hearts, and we want, Father, that seed of your word to bring forth much fruit in their lives, not only salvation, but, Lord, a relationship with Christ, a friendship, Lord, that's never broken, them learning how to rely upon Christ every day of their life as they become young adults, and as we become seniors. I pray, Father, that you do the same for us as well. Lord, continue to work in our hearts and in our lives, guiding us and helping us to faithfully follow. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Paul writes this last letter to Timothy, no doubt at the end of his letter, he wants to encourage Timothy to continue on in his own walk of faith, to continue on in the ministry that God had called Timothy to. We know that Paul was a great mentor in Timothy's life, and even awaiting execution, Paul still wants to be a testimony and encouragement to Timothy. And it even says in verse number 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he speaks of just the waiting execution, that he knows that he has come to the end of his life, but not just the end of his life because somebody wants to execute him, but he's at the end of his course that God has determined for him. Remember, God is the one that determines when life is done. He determines when he's done with his servants, and when he's done using his servants on this earth, then he calls them home in various ways. And Paul wanted to encourage Timothy to be determined in his own heart to finish his own course well, just as Paul had done himself. Again, in verse number 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that's the most important thing, is keeping the faith. Now, again, we're at the end of 2021. We're going into 2022. And tonight, as I normally do at the end of a year, I want to encourage us as we go into a new year to be determined to finish well in our walk with God, to be determined to finish well, not just the year, though we do need to give this next year to the Lord as we pray going into the new year. We need to ask the Lord to continue guiding us according to his will, helping us to be sensitive to his spirit, sensitive to his voice, sensitive to his leading. And again, we need to determine, just as Daniel purposed in his own heart to finish his course well, when he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine, but more so it wasn't just for Daniel the meat and the wine that they were supposed to eat for a certain amount of time as they were learning the Chaldean tongue and learning all the ways of the Babylonian kingdom, but it was that he was purposing in his heart not to be defiled by the society that he was having to grow up in as a captive. And no doubt God raised him into a prominent position, not just as a governor, not just as one of the king's trusted men, but he would be one that would advise the king. He was one that influenced the kings greatly that he would serve under, all because he purposed to finish his course well by being faithful to his God. And Paul here in chapter 4 encourages Timothy to do the same, to be purposed in your heart, to be determined to finish your course that God has set you upon in a well manner that brings honor and glory to the Lord. Now, before we get into some of this, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, as I believe Paul is the author of this book, and he writes in verse 1 through 3, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." After Paul encouraging the believers to set aside anything that would hinder them from finishing their course well. Again, we don't know when our course is over. We don't know when our last day on this earth will be. Only God knows that. But there is a time appointed to each of us that God's going to call us home. And when he calls us home, we will come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive rewards for the things we've done for the Lord, or to receive loss of the things that we didn't do for the Lord. But we want to remember that, again, we're not the only ones living for the Lord in a world and in a society that is going in the wrong direction, all right? The world's been going in the wrong direction since man sinned against its creator. But we want to be purposed in our heart that, you know what, there have been others that have gone on before me. We get encouragement from Paul, from Peter, from John, from James, from the others that we read in Scripture, that we can finish our course, just as Joshua was commanded by God to follow the word of God so he would have success in his life as he walked and journeyed through the promised land, knowing that God would be there and God would help them along the way and God would never lead them astray. We want to be purposed in our heart as well to run with patience the race that God has set before us, because we do need patience. Patience in waiting on God. Patience on relying upon the Lord, as we're told in Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll look at that in a minute. But continuing on in Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Again, I believe as Paul wanted to encourage the believers that, listen, yes, could we get weary and faint in our minds? Could our minds cause us, our thoughts cause us to give up on the course that God has set our feet upon? Could our thoughts, if we allow them, cause our hearts to start to fret and to start to go astray from the Lord, not trusting the Lord and really getting tired of the spiritual battle, because we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible reminds us that in Ephesians 6, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and against the darkness. But again, we have Christ as our encourager. We have Christ as our advocate. Christ is our high priest who obviously prays for us and intercedes for us. And as Paul encourages the believers in Hebrews 12 to finish their course, to run it with patience, and the only way to do that is to do what he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, getting encouragement that, you know what, he endured the cross for us. He despised the shame of the cross because he was looking beyond the cross where he would sit back down at the right hand of the Father once it was finished, once the work of Calvary and the sin debt was paid for. Once it was finished, he would sit down, signify that it was finished, that there was no more work that needed to be done. but encourages us that when we look past what seemed like our cross, because Jesus said, take up your cross daily, when we look past what seems to be our cross, living in this world and trying to walk with the Lord in a sin-cursed world day after day, overcoming temptation, overcoming failures, and just keeping our focus on the Lord, it helps us, I believe, as the Lord continues to say, follow me, as he often said to his disciples. Follow me, even with Peter. He had to come and remind him, forget those things which are behind, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Follow me. And we often, again, have to remind ourselves, we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory because he won the victory for us. Now, several things I want us to look at tonight in just purposing in our heart, or determining to finish well this next year as we enter into it. Number one, obviously, we need to commit ourselves to spending more time in God's Word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Maybe back up a page or two and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. You cannot start the new year. You cannot finish the year. You cannot run well throughout a year without having a solid grip upon God's Word, allowing it to be the foundation of every day that we wake up to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, studying God's word, reading our daily devotions so that we get instruction and wisdom for the day. It's not just reading a novel, because this is not a novel, it's not a fairy tale. This is God's word to us, guiding us through our life, guiding us even into a new year, not knowing what the next year will hold for us. God does, and we seek God on a daily basis, not just for wisdom and direction, but for encouragement to keep pressing on in this race. No doubt Paul had to be encouraged often that everything was fine, even though looking through human eyes, it didn't seem fine, as Paul was hated and he was sought after to be killed and people against him, yet the Lord would always remind him that the Lord was on his side, even when he was in the midst of the storm on the Mediterranean Sea and the Lord spoke to him by an angel on that night when everybody had lost hope because they hadn't seen the sun in 14 days. And Paul comes back on top where everybody else is and encourages them that the Lord spoke to me and not a person's going to lose their life. And sometimes we need to be encouraged by the Lord that, you know what, everything's going to be okay. You know what, the ship will be lost, but at least the lives won't be lost. There'll be things. Maybe we've lost some things this past year. But again, we haven't lost our life. We haven't lost our relationship with the Lord. The material possessions that we have are just that. They are material. They're temporal, as the Bible talks about. They're not eternal. But our relationship with the Lord is eternal, and we want to increase our time with the Lord through his word, because when you look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy and verses 16 and 17, we're reminded that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, throughly furnished unto all good works. Again, God's word is sufficient for us. It helps us, obviously, to accomplish God's will in our life, but it encourages us. It strengthens our faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it reminds us as well that, you know what, I can finish my course. I can pray and ask God to guide and direct me. And when there seems to be a roadblock, when there seems to be something that comes up that I don't have an answer to, I can go to the word of God to get encouragement, to be reminded that God is still sitting on the throne, God is still sovereign, God's still in control, and I can pour out my heart to the Lord and get direction and wisdom that I need. And another important thing that will help us as we stay in the word of God and pour more of the word of God into our hearts this next year, it will help us not to give place to the devil. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. You can kind of sense over the past 2 years the devil has really ramped up his efforts, I guess if you want to call efforts, but just his wickedness, just to destroy lives, to take away freedoms for people. We're trying to keep people in the dark spiritually. And as we get closer to the return of Christ, he will seemingly pour out more and more of his wickedness and more of his wrath. The Bible talks about that. But again, in our own personal life, we want to make sure that we don't give place to the devil. And the Bible says in Romans 13, 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." As we enter into a new year, we need a purpose in our hearts that we're not going to give place to the devil through envy, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, even discontentment. A lot of people are discontent with things in their life and discontent how things are going and discontent with their finances. And again, don't give place to the devil. God has told us how we can be blessed through Scripture. And the very best way that you and I and every single Christian can be blessed, I should say every Bible-believing Christian, is to do what God says in the Scripture. And if we have financial difficulties, it is because if we're not tithing and honoring God with our substance, we will see the hardships in finances, because God said in Malachi, he wanted us to prove him. He wanted us to see if he wouldn't pour out a blessing upon us that we could not receive when we gave our tithes and offerings, continuing to trust in the Lord, which goes back to commitment number one. Spending more time in God's word will remind us of how God blesses his people and how we're to honor and worship God in various ways, not just with our lips, but obviously out of a pure heart, and obviously out of worship, bringing our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And again, when we give place to the devil, it's not always just because we're mad at somebody or we're harboring bitterness or anything like that. Sometimes it may just be because we're not honoring God the way he told us to honor him. And when we don't honor God the way that God wants to be honored, we end up, without us even knowing it, honoring the devil. That's why God was pleased with Cain's sacrifice, and he was not pleased with Abel's sacrifice. He was pleased with, but not with Cain's sacrifice. Cain brought of his own works instead of what God wanted, and God was not pleased with that sacrifice. Again, giving place to the Lord and not the devil. Satan's always looking for an opportunity to defeat you and me in our relationship with the Lord. Again, like I've said millions of times, he can't take your salvation away, but he wants to take away God's glory, God's honor, and he does it through convincing God's people that they don't have to do certain things that God has said in his word. So spending more time in God's word will help us not to give place to the devil. I want you to think about this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, because while we increase our time in Scripture and we learn the devil's tricks, his wiles, and how he tries to get us off track and tries to steal God's place in our heart and lives through various modes, we want to keep a biblical and pure thought life, which will help us in the process of defeating the devil, not giving him place, while we give more place to God's word in our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's the most important thing, is that we obey Christ in every area of our life. Now, will we have some failures? Sure, because we're still human, but yet we should have a heart's desire and purpose in our heart and be determined that, you know what, I'm giving my life to the Lord this next year. Like, whatever 2022 holds for me, I give it to the Lord. I want God to guide me, direct me as I follow the Lord through Scripture, as I allow the Word of God to be like a hammer that breaks up the fallow ground that may be in my heart, where maybe a section where I'm a little hard. I need the Lord to break up that fallow ground and make my heart more tender. I need the Lord to help me to have a right biblical thought life according to His word, so that I bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Because not everything I think is true. Not everything I think, not every thought I have, should I act upon. And sometimes we tell people, sometimes we have to even tell kids, you know, you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind, because kids are immature and kids are learning, and sometimes kids just blurt out things that they shouldn't say. And there's been times over the years where I've had to correct kids because, you know, they were making fun of somebody. And because of the way somebody talked, the way somebody looked, and I had, you know, we had to correct them, say, hey, we're not supposed to make fun of people. You don't always have to say what comes to your mind. But sometimes if we allow ourselves to be caught off guard or allow ourselves to be offended, sometimes we might want to give a piece of our mind to somebody, and the Lord says, no, don't do that. Hold your tongue. Don't speak everything that comes to your mind. In casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, we're looking to obey Christ in every area of our life, every thought that we have. Does this match up with Scripture? Is this in obedience towards Christ? Will this glorify God? Will this lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in my life? And it all goes back to commitment number one: increasing our time in God's Word will shape us and mold us into the image of Christ, where we do have the mind of Christ, we have the will of the Lord, we see things through spiritual eyes, the way that Christ sees them, and our hearts are tender to God and tender to the ways of the Lord. Again, you know, again, we look at Paul's life as he's writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy to determine in his own life to finish well, and the man who is encouraging Timothy to finish well and to be purposed in your heart and determined to follow the way of the Lord, regardless of what may appear or what may come up in your lifetime as you follow the Lord, is a man who obviously had his own hardships, but he saw the blessings of the Lord. He saw his relationship grow with the Lord. He saw himself get closer to the Lord. He saw his own faith grow in the Lord from the moment he met Christ. On the road to Damascus, he saw his faith continue to grow. He saw God do great things, great mighty things in his life. And he saw God do wonderful things in his life. And at the end, he's pleased. And again, not that Paul was a super Christian or anything, but even Paul says in one of his letters that the things I would do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. I mean, he talked about his own struggles in life, because we all have those struggles. But yet, he still was able to say at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. You know what? We need to fight a good fight, because we're in a spiritual battle. Again, salvation cannot be taken away from you. That's a gift from God. But the devil wants to rob us of God's joy, wants to rob us of Jesus' peace, wants to rob us of crowns that we can receive at the judgment seat of Christ for a life that we have lived. I mean, even, let's see here, it might even be in this chapter right here. Yeah, verse number 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he says, backing up to verse 7, he says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I mean, all throughout Scripture, it talks about crowns that we can receive, and no doubt, when we do receive those crowns, when we do receive from the Lord blessings for a life that we've lived for him, that we have built upon the foundation that was laid for us with gold and silver and precious stones. And unfortunately, there's some wood, hay, and stubble that we all tend to kind of try to build with our spiritual life as we're trying to live for the Lord. Things that, you know, maybe we did that we decided to do that really wasn't the Lord's will, or or whatever. Those things will be burned up, as the Bible says. But yet, you know what? There's going to be some things that remain. And when we are rewarded for the things that we have done for the Lord, and we were faithful, and we finished our course, as Paul even says here, and we received those rewards, those crowns, it's not for us to keep. It's for us to turn right back around and cast at the feet of Jesus, who's worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Again, being committed in our life to the Lord and being determined to finish well, going into this new year. You think about whenever you start a new job, whenever you start any type of new venture, anything that we have started for the first time in our life to do, I guarantee you we've always been purposed, you know what, I'm going to do my best. I mean, this is something, I'm just going to give my whole self to it. And probably somewhere along the line, along the way, we got to a point where we were fed up with whatever it was. You know, something happened and it just wasn't working out. Or, you know, there's just things along the way that we give ourselves to, and then we realize we stop giving ourselves to it. We stop trying our best at it for one reason or another. But the Christian life should be something we never stop giving our best to, because it is a life that we are to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of our best. He's worthy of us to continue moving forward, even when there are failures, even when there are hang-ups in our life and things that we have to get over and ask for forgiveness. Yet we want to have even that pure biblical thought life that, you know what, I can confess my sins, I can confess my shortcomings to the Lord, and I can keep moving forward for the Lord. But we got to be careful about pride. Pride is a big thing that destroys many, and pride goeth before a fall, the Bible says. Another way, he even says in another scripture, pride goeth before destruction. And pride begins in our thoughts, and when we allow our thoughts and imagination to go against obedience to Christ, then we fall. So we got to make sure that, again, scripture's number one. We're giving ourselves a scripture daily so that we can resist the devil, not give the devil place in our life, and we can maintain a proper, biblical, pure thought life towards obedience to God and maintaining a humble spirit. That's commitment number four. Look at James chapter 4, committing a humble spirit. Again, I'm going to keep saying it, but it all hinges on our daily Bible reading. It all hinges on the Word of God. That's what God told Joshua. The only way Joshua was going to have success is if he hung on every word that God spoke. Everything that God commanded. Even Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it is the number one thing that many Christians neglect. They neglect God's word. And then they wonder why things are not working out the way that they would like them to. They wonder why they have more difficulties. They wonder why they have more financial problems, more marriage problems, more work problems. And it is because we have neglected the number one thing that God wants us to hold near and dear to our hearts, and that is his word that he's given to us to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In when you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, actually, I told you James chapter 4, didn't I? James chapter 4, look at verse 6 and 7. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, the devil is the father of pride. He lifted himself up in pride against his maker. He was a created angelic being that was supposed to be the one that would lead, lead the heavenly choir in worshiping God. I mean, he was given that position. His body is made up of music. And scripture talks about that without going into it. But he lifted himself up in pride against God, and it got him cast out of heaven. God wants us to have a humble spirit before the Lord, admitting that we need the Lord. We can't do anything without the Lord. And if there's one quality that we need for victory, it is a humble spirit. because God will lift up the humble if we come before the Lord. Think about Paul. As Paul writes to Timothy, I'm sure many, many times he thought about that day on the road to Damascus, where he was filled with jealousy and filled with envy and filled with hatred and was going to murder more Christians as he had already done. And yet the Lord stopped him in his tracks. His life was changed. He put his faith and trust in the very one that he was trying to destroy, which you cannot destroy Christ. But many try to destroy Christ by destroying his word, destroying his people. Yet you cannot destroy the Lord. And Paul, I'm sure, many times thought about that day, and it helped him to realize and helped him to learn the grace and love of God, and helped him to even be able to say, I'd rather have the power of Christ upon my life than to have some thorn in the flesh removed. We all would love a comfortable life, an easy life, no pain. But one day we will have that in heaven. We'll have no pain. We'll have a comfortable life. We'll have a peaceful life. No more turmoil, no more spiritual battles. But right now, we learn the grace of God by a humble spirit. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to always remind ourselves, I need the Lord. And the only way I'm going to be reminded of that is through God's word. Because we learn so many lessons in the Bible from those who have gone on before us, living a life, trusting the Lord in hard times, in good times, seeing the hand of God saving them, helping them. I love so many accounts in Scripture. I love the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast in the fiery furnace because they were bound and determined not to bow to anything or anybody else but their Lord and Savior. And it got them cast into the fire, but in the fire, their Savior was waiting for them and walked with them in the fire. I'm glad that, you know what, when we stand for what we believe in, we stand for truth, God is always there to walk with us. And sometimes we have to walk through that valley alone, humanly speaking, because nobody else wants to stand up for what is right along with us. But the Lord will, when we stand up for what's biblically right, we stand up for our faith and our relationship with the Lord. But, you know, in Proverbs 27, we can and should still cultivate godly relationships with other Christians. We still should have some Christian friends that we can encourage and get encouragement from. Again, when I think about this, I think about, Elijah, who thought he was the only one. Now, God reminded him there was not 7,000 not bow the knee, but sometimes the devil loves isolation. The devil loves a Christian to be isolated from other Christians. You can be in the same room with other Christians and still be isolated because we're not interacting. We're not talking to one another. As Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, we're not sharpening one another. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And again, who is our friend? Not just the ones we get along with or the ones we're close to, the ones we like to talk to, but every child of God should be our friend, and we need to develop relationships with spiritual Christians who we know will encourage us to grow in our walk with the Lord. That's why the Bible says, that's why God tells us in his word as we read it, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unbelievers should not be our best friends. And we should not, again, I know there are some that are married to unbelievers, but we should not, if we know before we get married, if I'm a child of God, I am a born-again believer, and I know that somebody is not a believer, I should not marry that person. Now, can God turn their heart and save that person? They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Yes, but there's no guarantee. Because I've seen it both ways where a saved person marries an unsaved person And praise the Lord, it works out. They end up getting saved, but I've seen it the other way around, where a saved person marries an unsaved person, and the unsaved person stops walking with God. And they end up dying a death, because God talks about that in His Word. But again, we need to have relationships with God's people that will help us, whether it's a spouse that is a child of God, is born again. That's the best one. That's the best way to have someone encourage you in the Lord, because it's better that two are together, and we'll look at that in Ecclesiastes in a minute. You know what? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, because if you think about just the fact that we do need encouragement, we need to know that there are others praying for us, that we can count on someone to pray for us, knowing that, you know what, they will. We trust them, but we also need to be that kind of friend that, you know, we're looking out for the welfare of others. Now, sometimes people have the mindset, well, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to, you know, tell anybody what they need to do. No, it's about being an encouragement, knowing, again, that the devil's active, and just as the devil works on us and tries to discourage us and tries to get us off track at different times, he's not a single Christian that the devil does not fight against and try to discourage and try to get off track. We understand that, and we can see other people who may be struggling, and we can just go up and encourage them. Encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them with God's word. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, you look at verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Think about this. When Paul and Silas were both cast into prison after being beaten for their faith because they had delivered a young girl from demon possession, and they got cast into prison because the townspeople were basically lied to, and they were stirred up into anger, and the people came across, or the town's leaders came, and they beat Paul and Silas and threw them in prison. I have no doubt that Paul, if he was all by himself, being the man that he is, that we read in Scripture, he would have prayed. He probably would have worshiped the Lord. But there's just something about having a second person worshiping and praying with you about the same situation that they're in, or going through the same predicament at some time. It's just something about knowing that somebody understands, and you kind of feed off of each other, worshiping the Lord and praying. It's just like my dad always told me, bad attitudes are contagious. Every time I'd get a bad attitude with him, and why, I don't know. Most kids don't get bad attitudes with their dad. They don't push it as much as they do with the moms. But I just remember my dad had to say that many times to me. And when he said it, he had a very stern look in his face. And I tell you, if I could crawl into a shell, I would have crawled into a shell just to get out of his eyesight. But again, just as bad attitudes are contagious, because the Bible does tell us that evil communications do corrupt good manners, that iron sharpeneth iron, that it's better to have two together, where if one falls, the other can lift him up. And they have a reward, a good reward for their labor, as the Scripture says. Again, it may be your spouse that is able to be that one. I think it's also sometimes good to have somebody else in the church, another brother or sister in Christ, that you can not necessarily confide everything into, but pray with, encourage, you know, in the Lord, worship the Lord together. And that's a good reason why we attend church, because we're in a group setting of other believers where we can pray to the Lord and we can worship the Lord together and get encouragement that, hey, I'm not the only one. There's a body of Christ that I am a part of, and we all are in this together, and we are all headed in the same direction. But the end of verse 10 says, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, the devil loves isolation. He loves Christians to be isolated from other Christians. Even though they may bodily, physically be present, mentally they're not, because they're not allowing themselves to associate with others, to be encouraged with others, and to have friendships. And when you think about Paul, and you go through and you read Paul's letters, he's always mentioning somebody in his letter that was an encouragement to him. He's always mentioning co-laborers, and he's mentioning those who would travel with him. And again, you look at the letters that he writes. Just about all of them were written. He dictated the letter, but somebody else wrote it down for him. And again, he had helpers along the way that would encourage him, and no doubt, I'm sure, encouraged him to keep going, because he wanted to be a good example of a believer. And he tells Timothy that. He says, be an example of the believer. You know, Paul wanted to be that example. He mentored Titus. He mentored Timothy. He mentored others. And no doubt, he had that mindset that he wanted to be a good influence to somebody else. And that kept him motivated to keep going, to stay close to the Lord, keep relying upon the Lord, to stay in the Word of God. Because when you read his letter to Timothy, he tells Timothy at one point, when you come, bring my cloak, bring my books, but especially the parchments. He wanted the Word of God that he had. He wanted that copy of God's Word. Last place I want you to think about is Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, as we think about our seventh commitment for this new year, and really for every year, committing ourselves to be faithful to these commitments, being determined to finish our course well. Again, we don't know when our course will end. We don't know the moment that God will call us home. But we want to be committed to finishing the next year well as we get closer to the Lord. And that should really be a desire and a commitment for all of us, is that, you know what? This next year, I want to get closer to the Lord. This year, I want to see more of God working in my life. I want to hear God's voice more clearly. I want to be sensitive more to the Spirit of God in my life. And if the Lord happens to call me home sometime this year, I want to be found faithfully serving him, faithfully following him, faithfully getting closer to him as I faithfully do what he's called me to do. Now, in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So we are to hate these things because God hates them. We're to hate pride and arrogancy. And we're to hate the evil way. And we're to hate the froward mouth, the mouth that lies. We're not to be people of lies. We're not to allow lies to come out of our mouth, because we are not the children of the father of lies. We are the children of light. We're the children of truth. We're the children of the Lord. We're not the children of the devil. And the Lord even had to rebuke the Pharisees and said, you're of your father, the devil. I mean, they were following the devil's way because they were not glorifying the Lord. But we don't want to walk in pride. We want to have that humble spirit. We don't want to allow arrogancy. I mean, if we do something well, we're to give glory to the Lord. We're not to take credit for it. And we're not to allow the devil to have any room in our life in any way. And as we stay in the Word of God, more and more we will see things that are right in our life, and we'll see things that, oh, I didn't know that was wrong. And we can give that to the Lord and be improved upon it so that God is glorified. Again, that's really when you get to commitment number 7 and you think about walking in the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Obviously, it's not being scared of God. It's not hiding in a closet, terrified of the Lord. But it's a pure, righteous fear. It's a fear of not wanting to displease God. It's a fear of not wanting to walk contrary to the ways of God. It's wanting to worship God in a right way, as Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 tells us. We want to bring honor and glory to the Lord, because he deserves it, because he's given us a new life. So as we enter in this next year, those are some things that we want to commit ourselves to. And all of it is determining to finish our course well that God's laid before us. Every one of us have been set in a race, and we need to finish that race well, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, so that he will be glorified, we will be blessed, but we will draw closer to the Lord as we go through this next year.